All right, I'm going to pray, then we'll get into it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're here. We just thank you for your presence, Lord. We just thank you for your anointing. We just thank you for your word. I thank you that you confirm your word with signs following. We just thank you for all the things you've been doing. Jesus, we just thank you that your word says any two or more gathered together in your name, you're here in our midst. We just thank you. We thank you, especially when we agree concerning anything, Lord, you do it. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So who's in agreement that God's going to touch them tonight? Yes? Okay. Well, then it's done. Wonderful. Let's close in prayer. Okay. No, not quite. Not quite. Praise God. So what, basically, if we could put up the crusade stuff, if we can, please, that'd be great. Oh, that, well, yeah, we can do that. It's all right. So basically, we're going to be doing a lot of outreaches this year, and we'll show the two pictures first, and then we'll do the part on the website, especially if you're online. So we're going into the nations, and for a couple of years, we've had a strong grace and anointing to get right into this, involved in praying into government and the prophetic. And we're still maintaining that. We never, it's not an either or, it's an add to. But we have gone into the nations for as long as I can remember this church. And I remember it from, I was there in the beginning. And so we've gone into the nations, and what we're asking, people to prayerfully consider sowing into the Crusades. So you know what we're like. I think the last time we've probably never done this in regards to asking people to sow in, but just, it would be going into the actual Crusades itself. This year, I'm expecting, all things being equal, that we're still able to fly around the place. I think we're going to see tens and tens of thousands of people come to Christ. So this one here is Haiti. And that crowd there was about 35,000 people. And yeah, it was very eventful. Now, if you've ever been to Haiti, has anyone here been to Haiti? I thought so. We landed in the Dominican Republic and we drove in a car, and when we crossed the border, where it was run by the United Nations, if you have a look at a satellite picture of the island, you've got Dominican Republic on one side, Haiti on the other. Dominican Republic is green, and as soon as you see that boundary, which is a river, the other side is brown. And basically, as the story or the history goes, is that they were colonized, or they were imported there by the French, and they saw the French as cruel oppressors, and so they thought they would do a deal with the devil in order to break the oppression of the French. Now, let me know how that works out. So basically, it has been a nation filled with such strife, at the moment, there is hectic anarchy, martial law, if there is any law, cannibalism. Like, has anyone been following any of this on the news? Okay, well, there we go. Praise God. This is really happening. And, you know, you're not going to get anything on Channel 9, Channel 10, Channel 7, soccer before soccer, anything like that. So you're not going to get any joy out of that. But so we did this, and we had such a move of God, the heavens just, probably 10 minutes drive from this crusade grounds, we saw thousands of people come to Christ, healed, etc. Is that the oldest Mardi Gras in the world, which is like Brazil's carnival, the last night, which is the pinnacle, got cancelled. Such crazy confusion broke out, they had to cancel it, and they, people who are organising the Mardi Gras, said it is the Christian God who's punishing us. This is real stuff. When you're doing crusades, it is a conflict. It is between a light and darkness. It's not an even fight. You've just got to make sure you're in the light. Okay? And so that was very memorable. Those are the largest crowds I've spoken to up to this point. But this year, Kenya will probably top that quite comfortably. We've got another picture. Next year, we want to take people into Indonesia. So this is West Timor. Now, we've done a few trips to West Timor, and there was a bit of an... When you're trying to start something new, you've got to find the man of peace or the house of peace. We weren't quite successful in that regard, but what we did see is we did see, we did a few trips, but this particular trip is we had a crusade lined up, and the communication with the island was not very good. So what would happen is that I would send an email, they would drive all the way into Kupang from Soe, all right, and through crazy traffic once a week, get the email, go back and consider it, and not get back to me till the following week. So we would have one exchange of two sentences every 2 weeks. So I had organized a crusade with a guy, just a, you know, just a rookie. His name's David Hogan. And basically, Mr. Raised Them from the Dead. And so we get there, and it was clear that the organization was just, and they hadn't told me. And they said, look, this is what's happened, is that we couldn't get together what you needed. I said, you needed to tell me that before I got here. And they said, sorry. I said, here, have your money back, which was, that was integrous. So we did a meeting in a church. And I remember, because we wanted souls. And people coming in, because you got to understand that, especially in different countries, when you're putting together an event to see light invade darkness, something that quite often happens, a thing called chaos. And so you got that has to be covered in prayer. So this year we're going to have to cover our events in prayer to make sure chaos doesn't happen. So going to this church, instead of a crusade, there's probably a couple of hundred people there. And we're waiting for more and more people to walk through the door, and they did, and there's about 200 people. And I remember sitting next to David Hogan, he looked at me and he punched me in the arm, and he goes, ripped off. It's easy to say that everyone felt sorry for me that night, but I didn't care because I wasn't there to create a platform. I was there to see the kingdom of God advanced. We saw such crazy manifestations of the Spirit, but then what happened, what was really interesting, is that David had to go back early. That was prearranged, but a bunch of young guys, who, you know, one of them being Joel Ramsey, who runs a church now in Nashville, is that we went, that they said, can we go to the town market and can we just preach the gospel there? I said, not only can you, I said, I'll join you. I'll be the musician. And then basically, we got maybe only one, maybe two interpreters. We went to the market and then we, a real basic 5-minute gospel message, and then invited people to receive prayer for whatever they needed. We saw so many miracles. Now, that's just who wants to receive Christ. Can you see people, they're actually still wearing their motorcycle helmets? Right? I know. They're not gladiators or anything. And people getting off their bike and just walking and listening to us. And there was literally hundreds healed and hundreds saved. I remember, it was crazy. I remember blind eyes, deaf ears. I remember this guy had a frozen shoulder. And I remember praying for it. And it felt like an invisible hand just jerked it up like that, and it was restored. We saw so many things like that. So we're very keen to take people to Indonesia next year. But this year, we're, like I said, asking people to prayerfully consider sowing into those crusades for souls, really. And we've probably got close to 40 people going on team, and that's our capacity at the moment. If you've who's ever been on a missions trip, put your hand up so I can see it. Wow, a bunch of you. They're pretty amazing, aren't they? And so you're taken out of your comfort zone, that's for sure. And sometimes people get turned inside out, but isn't that just part of the joy of the journey? All right, okay. We talked on Sunday something that we don't usually talk about, and it's not the elephant in the room. We're not avoidant, but I've got to be led to talk about it. We were talking about powers of darkness, principalities and powers. We don't focus on it, but it's something that we're aware of. There's some very, very paranormal things that are happening at the moment. Last night we were having a prayer meeting here, praying for a lot of really bad historic stuff. You know, there's a lot of hidden stuff that's happened in Australia. Really nasty stuff. And we were praying into that. Whenever you destroy the innocent, you'll get yourself offside with God. And Australia has a history of that, as nearly every nation. We have God's own covenant people worshipping Baal and Molech and sacrificing the next generation all through the Old Testament, especially even kings like Ahaz and Manasseh sacrificed their own children. And so we were praying around these issues that are real, because innocent blood, unredeemed, has a voice. As we're praying about it and we're talking about a certain subject matter, all the lights and power went out of the church here, except for a few circuits were fine. Just went, as we prayed, something just went like this. And we're looking at the switchboard and we're trying, and none of the fuses had triggered or anything like that. And it was fine today, evidently. But what I found out tonight is the exact same time that it happened here, it happened back in my house. So half the lights went out, and this, because I only know, because I don't see my wife much, if just in case you were wondering. She comes home, I go out, you know, and basically I went to turn the lights on and half the lights aren't working. She goes, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. The exact same time as you guys were praying here and everything went out up here. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on, and I've never wanted to magnify darkness, because it's pretty much like going into detail of how your colonoscopy went. And I think it can be necessary, however, it's not edifying. And so, one of the things, we just came back from Indonesia, and obviously last Tuesday, not last Sunday, we used what happened in Indonesia as a lead-in. We were talking about the realms of water, the realms of water spirits, and how we got these young people to renounce it. So when you do a youth camp, if you get to pray for the sick, great, but generally young people aren't sick generally. Generally speaking, you're going to prophesy over them, cast out demons and see them filled with the Spirit. So we didn't go after healing all that much, because that just wasn't what the need was. You know, praying God to quicken able bodies, you know, it's... So we got them to renounce the water spirit kingdom, because the animism that is in Indonesia, that has been there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before any monotheistic religion came in, it's established in their culture. They have shamans, witch doctors, they do sacrifices, they have temples, they're syncretism, so they hedge their bets. They go into a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Okay, so so we got them to renounce stuff, and then the power of God broke out and we saw them get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We saw the power of God. Now you go, wow, those silly Indonesian people, fancy doing that, fancy coming underwater spirits and engaging with marine spirits and the Queen of the South. Well, let me just say this, water spirits are all over the world, even in developed countries. And what we're seeing now, we are seeing, I'm going to talk about the West. The West is the best example. You see such brazen things taking place in the West, such brazen things in government, in culture. We are seeing, like, when we had Darren Canning through recently, I said, okay, so you've traveled a lot through America. How's it going? He goes, I cannot get over the deterioration. He said the demon-possessed people walking the streets, drug addicts, we're talking, it's been fully engineered. So what you have is you've got, on a political spectrum, the right or the conservatives, and they're outraged. Probably half of them are just as corrupt. But they're outraged. What about the Tea Party? They're outraged. What about the Christians? Christians are outraged. But they have no power. They can bellyache. They cannot hold anyone's feet to the fire, because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against entities that have fallen, that have intelligence, that have been around way longer than people. And they don't have to get words of knowledge or read someone's soul. They can just surmise through predictive behaviors of algorithm. That's why there is nothing new under the sun. And Elijah was a man of similar passions as we are today. So yes, obviously you've got spirits can pick up what's going on to see if someone's really walking in the spirit and in the light, etc. So we're talking about this. And so this is a reality. Now, again, I am very, very aware of people who've gone before us on an intercessory level. I don't think that a rite of passage, no, I don't think it's a given that someone can be an intercessor and they're going to get their brains beaten in. Because I'm an intercessor and I didn't sign up to get my brains beaten in. And I stand in the gap and function priesthood consistently. And the field of dreams just didn't drop out of the sky. It got birthed from a place. So one of the things is that we need to understand the dynamics of the Spirit. And so the Bible is such an amazing book. It's so layered with its meta-narrative, its subplots, its details, its mechanics, its nuances. But what we have is the closest thing to life is water. Water in the natural is a type of the spiritual world in other dimensions. Water is a type of a spirit dimension. And so you see in Revelation 12, once the sun ascended to the throne, the woman gave birth, the dragon was outraged. He was cast down to the earth with a lot of mates. And then after that, it said the woman was lifted up on the wings of an eagle and taken away from the presence of the serpent into the wilderness to be nourished or fed for times time and half a time away from the serpent. So the woman being, it said, her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. That's you and I. So was nourished away from the presence of the serpent. But then it said this. It didn't say the serpent tried to chase her down. The serpent didn't try and bite her head off or blow fire or whatever. Didn't do any of those things. The serpent vomited up water to consume the woman, but the earth protected her. I believe that's a type of Zion. So without getting into that latter part, is what's interesting is the modus operandi of the serpent is to vomit out water to swallow up those who have the testimony of Jesus. So what we have here, well, so what, someone, you know, vomiting water doesn't sound too hectic. Sounds gross, but it doesn't sound too hectic. Well, what it is, it's vomiting up a realm of the spirit that's directly connected to the bottomless pit. It's directly connected to the Tahaum, the deep, the abyss, the abuso. And so we need to understand that you can set up, if you have know-how to set something up hectically, whether it's on the coast, by a river, or in the dry desert. If you know how, you can connect to the abyss of darkness, which is a realm of the spirit. And when you see societies falling, when you see them falling, you can guarantee in the invisible world there is a flood of dark water, whether it's atmospheric or whatever it is. Are you guys tracking with me? Are you guys tracking with me? So what's interesting is that for you guys that know, and I'll tell you again, it's worth telling the story, is that twice two people in this church have had visions or dreams regarding my dad. And regarding that, they dreamt that my dad had a pirate around him. And pirates, you know, pirates aren't exactly, you know, out in the desert. My dad lives out in the desert, but pirates don't. And what happened was that basically he was based in Jamaica or in the Caribbean for some time in the British Navy. And right near Jamaica, or Kingston, should I say, was the site of Port Royal. And before you guys think, oh, is that where the cigarettes were made? No. Port Royal is basically one of the most wicked places on the earth where so many pirates lived, and prostitutes and violence and whatever, and that's where Pirates of the Caribbean is based. So my dad was based there. And so he collected a pirate with him. Two people on two occasions saw a pirate, one time siphoning out fuel out of his vehicle, right? And I'm just going, this is crazy, because my dad lives in the dry. So what happened was, there was some prayer offered up for him around this for a while, but I got to the point, I've been witnessing to my dad for 30 years. And it's like, dude, just accept Christ, all right? Yeah, sometimes you know that you can only travail so much, and after a while you just got to grab someone by the scruff of the neck and just say, this is the way it is, bro. So what happened is this. This is really interesting. It's I went after this spirit. It's a water spirit. And I went after it and I bound it. I told it to shut up and get lost. And around that time, that's when I was able to get my dad to confess Christ and say, yes, Jesus, and whatever. And this is some months ago now. So if it's new news, brilliant. But I want you to see the connection here. Is that you don't necessarily have to be a scuba diver based on the edge of the Bermuda Triangle for this to be an issue. It's a water spirit because water carries a dimension. It represents something. And so what I want to do is I just want to establish a few things and then we're going to pray for people tonight. And so so we talked about the dragon. You know, if the dragon can vomit out water from the abyss, how much more can God's people, when they prophesy or decree or pray for people, they manifest heavenly water? This is what we got to understand. So Isaiah 43 verses 1 to 2 says this, "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters..." This is way post Red Sea. This is not the Red Sea. "When you pass through the waters," quite often when you see S-E-E, the sea, S-E-A, in the Old Testament, in Hebraic reality, it quite often means the realm of chaos. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the Tahaum, okay? It's a watery abyss. So here, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And what's interesting, it doesn't say if, it says when. I think everybody has an appointment to deal with these issues, okay? So God says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you." The scriptures that said God was angry with the rivers. "When you walk through the fire," how many people are walking through fire? Come on. Obviously, we're talking about the realm of the spirit. This fiery trial. Don't be grieved by this fiery trial. So people going through intense pressure, okay? This is not all about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is a spiritual dimension. "When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. No, the flame shall not scorch you." And so we have this reality of dark water. When someone is terrified in fear, I guarantee there's dark water around their life. There's dark water around their life. One of the things we're meant to do is have authority over this water, like Moses did. Like Moses did. Moses' name means to pull out of the water. And then he confronted Pharaoh, who used to go out to the Nile every day and meet with his Leviathan water spirit. I want you to think that Western education or Western ideology is really good on so many practical levels. But spiritually, it has made the West spiritual IQ close to zero. Close to zero. The Bible is not a book of myths. People really believed God and things really happened. But now we've got electricity. We've got devices. We don't need the word of the Lord. We got Wikipedia. You know, I can just Google something, you know. And so when people had to really, really lay a hold of God in regards to knowledge, but Moses had he had authority over the waters, and so not only that, he spoke to the rock and the water came out. Not only that, is that they were thirsty and the waters were bitter, so God said, "Throw a tree into the waters." So we're meant to have authority. Elisha put salt into the waters. He even caused the axe head to float. This stuff again. Jesus walked on the water, calmed the storm. He called fishermen. You hearing me? When he cast the spirits out of the pigs, legion, they went back into the water, and it's near the northern part of Galilee, which is near Caesarea Philippi, Decapolis, which is 10 you know, cities connected to Rome, etc. So there's a lot more in there. Jesus, you should pay the temple tax. Peter, go get a fish. Oh, there's a gold coin. Isn't that interesting? So there's so much more about this. So God wants to establish Habakkuk 2:14, and it says this. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters over the sea. Hang on. What? As the air over the oxygen, as the rocks over the dirt, over the leaves over the trees. He wants to, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And you start to see when we've got to drill down, whenever it talks about seas and rivers and waters and the deep. In the Old Testament, we've got to go, what is this actually saying? I do believe there's primary meaning. Quite often, you know, Elijah, you know, part of the Jordan went across in chariots of fire, etc. So that was literal. But there's a lot of stuff where it's double meaning. So, okay. So what we want to do is a part of us in regards to spiritual warfare is we can't just be yelling at devils all the time. We've actually got to be walking in a fullness of the Lord. What does a fullness of the Lord look like? Because I believe Jesus is the only way. Can someone say amen? It's the only way. But within him are multiple ways. It's different ways to get healed. You've got the prayer of faith. You've got gifts of the Spirit, working in miracles, gifts of healing. Words of knowledge creates faith. You know, William Branham, oh, do you believe? Yep, bang, healed. Right, you've got intercession. People can fast and their immune systems get invigorated and they recover. But there's many different ways to get healed. But only Jesus is the healer, all right, by his Spirit. So, so what we're now going to touch on is what God wants to establish in the earth and the language that God has chosen that I'm going to limit this subject to is very easy to conceptualize and picture. If you can picture this, you can bring it into focus. If you can bring it into focus, you can bring it into manifestation. And that's the power of language. That's the power of identifying and articulating phenomena. Anything you can bring into focus, you can bring into manifestation. So how does God want to establish? What is one of the ways that God wants to establish himself on the earth? I'm glad you asked. Revelation, please. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. So you've got this eternal reality interfacing with, superimposed, and engaging with time. Okay? So you've got this incredible scene of the, it's not just the river of God. This is, I want you to catch this. I haven't looked at the translation, but I'm almost certain the word Zoe. It's the river of life. The river of life. So anytime you see things happen regarding death, decay, chaos, there's no life. So we can, if we've got genes, we've got a DNA, they're encoded, and they all have use-by dates. And some people's DNA have use-by dates earlier than others. All right? And so what you got is that but the river of life is what we want. Because this is actually part of our inheritance. And it talks about the trees of life, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So this is what God wants to establish heavenly water on the earth. Heavenly water on the earth. So what's fascinating, you're going, all right, if the dragon can vomit up dark water from the abyss that carries fear, firstly, chaos and confusion and emptiness, fear, sickness, death, poverty, uncleanness, filth, murder, all the works of the flesh, everything demonic and idolatrous is contained in that water. So if that came out of a dragon, is the water of God just going to fall out of the sky on the earth? No. I'm looking at the portals, the windows and the doors. It comes out of people. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. It is within. And when you start to realize that the kingdom of God is inside of you and you are a portal, and if you have consecrated yourself and he's sanctified you unto honor, then your effectiveness is magnified and your life brings glory to God. But if you haven't gone after this stuff, then it's just like someone stepped on the hose or bent it a bit. You know, you got you like your water like this and going, yeah, cool. No worries, plants really need this like this. And all of a sudden it just starts dripping. You look and some bozo stepping on the hose. You know, come on. Because really, we're the ones that will carry this. So what I want to talk about, a couple of ways to interface this dimension, and then we're going to pray for people. So Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. We're talking about trees of life. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord and in the word of God, paraphrasing, he meditate. Meditation is your inner world connecting with an inner world. You know, I believe this is possibly the primary spiritual law for transformation is meditation. Primary. Because people can pray, oh God, like this, and they're in autopilot, but they're not really thinking about it or they're not engaged it. You get people that, when people speak and it doesn't carry anything, it means their words and their heart are not connected. So when people talk and doesn't have any cut through, there's not a connection. So what meditation does, it calibrates your inner world to the Word of God. So it says if you delight in God's Word and you meditate it occasionally, 5-minute devotional every 3 days. It says day and night, day and night. Day and night. Now, as soon as I knew we're doing these outreaches, day and night. This is what I'm doing. So what's the next part? It says, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Here's a theme here. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. Remember, the leaves were for the healing of the nations. Guess what? Who the trees are. And guess what the leaves are. You're the trees, right? And the leaves come out of the growth of your connection to the rivers of God. Just today, I bought some furniture and took my son with me and son's like, yep, I'll give you a hand. He's probably in his brain going, 10 minutes. We end up talking to the owners of the furniture shop for an hour and 20 and just talking about all things supernatural and witnessing and everything like that. And part of that is because you spend time in the Word of God, you carry a dimension that just opens things up, opens things up. I was the one answering questions. I wasn't being the town crier. And it's that those things just open things up in the Spirit. And so because I have been constantly meditating in the Word and I've got to go deeper. I just know I do. I feel like I'm on the ground level at the moment. So meditation gets you in touch with the invisible dimension of the river of God. Your roots go down into the water. You get nourished. No matter what happens, your leaves will not wither. So you can have, Australia can go down the tubes. Except for those people who meditate in God's Word. You can be like your own Goshen. You could be, see, oh, look at all this is happening. Stop being moved by externals and start and get a hold of the Word of God and let it permeate your inner being. Nothing can stop you from bearing fruit. Do you know that? Nothing can stop you from thriving. Come on, how empowering is that? If you don't understand this, you're going, well, this happened. And I just read just before I got up on stage, you know, Adelaide is the hardest place in Australia to find rentals. It's the hardest place. Unless you meditate in the Word of God. You know, it's like I've got my challenges and I can go, this external circumstance. And the Lord goes, what's going on in here? This is where it's at. This is where it's at. You can say, this happened, and the Lord goes, hang on, the kingdom of God isn't out, the kingdom of God is within you, according to Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. This should be incredibly empowering. This should compel and inspire people to completely throw themselves into God. No one, if you know Jesus, you are never a victim. If someone betrays you, abuses you, mishandles you, misrepresents you, it's just a blip. Because you've got the God of the universe living on the inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Here's another way. Isaiah 61, verse 3. This is about how to connect to the waters. To console those, it's talking about the preaching of the gospel here. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Ashes are pretty hard to redeem. Ashes can sort of be a bit of a faux fertilizer, but not much more. Okay? It's refuse. Sackcloth and ashes. Haven't tried that one. I've never had the old thing put on me on my forehead or anything like that, but you know. To console them who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Now, I would say this. There's a lot in life that could get you down. There is. There's a whole gamut of things. There's a whole gamut of things to make you afraid and not even get out of bed to immobilize you. And we can cover it with all sorts of spiritual language, but we're still covering it, you know? And it says here that God wants to give us the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So God doesn't go, all right, I'm going to give you the garment of praise. I want you to think of this principle as the same as being filled with the Spirit. All right, okay, Lord. All right, you're going to give me the oil of joy for mourning. I've gone through a rough time, Lord, but I'm waiting for that garment of praise. Now, we know that's stupid because it's got so much praxis attached to it, but we actually have to praise the Lord. We have to decide to praise the Lord. The same way we have to decide that we are going to walk in the Spirit and be continually filled with the Spirit. All right, I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? We need to know what it is to lay a hold of in the invisible realm and to be able to drink and to be able to partake of that. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, yep. And the result of that is that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. All right, here we go. This is we'll go through this next one. This is so cool. I've been meditating this for ages. Yesterday, came in here to pray, and I went in the Spirit, and I started to see waterfalls running down the walls of this sanctuary. It looked like water features. I was like, wow. It's there actually waiting for people to engage. It's waiting for people to engage. That's what's so cool. When you start to understand the faith realm, we don't wait for the feeling, because as Boston said, it's more than a feeling. And you have to lay a hold of it by faith. This is why we have to build that faith muscle. But I want us to have a look at this one. This is in the realm of the Spirit, as is Revelation 22, Ezekiel 47. This is so cool. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. Wow, how cool is that? Temple and Spirit. Where's the temple now? You're the temple. Hello? And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east in front of the temple, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out of the east with the line that was in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. This is very similar to Revelation, when they were measuring the New Jerusalem, etc. So now you've got a man measuring the river of God. He measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Again, I reckon I've been up to my knees. I really do. That's one of my encounters. I was actually probably a little bit deeper, probably thigh. Okay. How thigh was it? It was higher than the knees. I remember being on my belly, and then I started to recover from hectic complications of different things. And I had an angel turn up at the end of my bed, and I'm like, I remember just going, wow. And what's really interesting, when the angel turned up, knocked out half the power of my house, so maybe it was an angel. So it was a shaft of electric light, that sounds like, you know, of airy oxygen. There was I could see a pillar of light, and it had just like waves. It wasn't a zigzag, waves coming out like this. I heard audible voice saying, "I've sent my angel." Closed my eyes. Next thing I know, I'm sort of on my stomach, almost doggy paddle deal, in water so crystal clear I couldn't see it. And underneath were the most crazy colours of these stones. And I'm like, this is cool. I'll take this. And my condition completely turned around. Trust me when I say you want to be completely thirsty for the rivers of living water. Because that's when my condition changed dramatically. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. It came up to my waist. Yeah, that was probably, thigh-ish. Ish always gives you the level of healthy ambiguity. All right. Again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, when I was in the river, I wasn't aware of breathing. So I don't know if I was breathing underwater. I don't think I was holding my breath. But I was just like, it's just such another place. When I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region. It goes down into the valley and enters the sea." So God's waters enter physical dimensions and spiritual dimensions of darkness. This is what it does. So we're talking about governance. We're talking about warfare and governing. But you can't govern if you're as dry as an old chip. This water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Trust me, my friends, on an experiential level, the greatest thing you can desire and seek for is living water. Living water. What's the next part? And it should be that everything that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. Isn't that interesting? Wherever the rivers go. Does the river just invade places, or is the river invited? I don't know. But I would say if the river's invited, it's going to go there. Okay? There will be a great, wherever the rivers go, we'll live. So it's the river of life, crystal clear. Can you imagine what things in your life are dead or dying or atrophied? Is it your emotions? Is it part of your body dying or aging prematurely? Is it your spirit is all, your soul is all crusty? You can only put so many happy faces on religion. You know what we got a terrible habit of doing? We open up to all the wrong things and we close off to God. And we have to that inner realm, we have to open up to God. Because that's life. It really is. So wherever the rivers go, we'll live. There will be a very great multitude of fish. Quite often fish can represent people. I'll make you fishers of men. There were fishermen, etc. Because these waters go there, for they will be healed. They will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. And it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. And there will be places for spreading of their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. So I would say that places that do not want God to move, that becomes a swamp and a marsh. It's a salty place. It's given over. And salt is very good, but obviously the Dead Sea is an extreme example where the water isn't flowing. What else? Well, it has been flooding recently. Along the bank of the river, and either on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. So when you start to see this, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. That's not coming from the sky. It's coming through believers. That's huge. And it's called rivers with benefits. When you allow God to invade your inner world and you let it flow out, not only do people get healed, not only do they get blessed, but you get life. You get life. A spirit of resurrection is what we're engaging on so many levels. We're engaging a spirit of resurrection. I'm laying a hold of the fact that I'm on the earth for a purpose, and I want the appropriate levels of energy and life, fruitfulness, vitality to fulfill that and not sort of become a crusty demons of dirt. I want to be able to fulfill that. I'm not going to do it outside of the rivers of life. This is what's so fascinating. Let's go to John chapter 7, verses 37 to 38. And we can get some pads ready, please. That'd be great, please. John, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, this is actually really exciting. So I know that we've been praying for Moonta, praying for here, praying for crusades. One of the things we've been engaging is the river. It's the river. Now, I'm going to just say something, and we're going to get into some prayer or whatever we're going to do in a second. Now, Australia is not known for crazy stepping out of the boat early adoption. We usually wait for someone else to do it. We have to be different. This is what I've found. So I've got a very, very hectic schedule agenda in front of me, and I'm going, "Wow, God, this is amazing. Thanks." look at this. And this is what God says to me. He said, "Todd, whatever you want to happen, you have to jump in faith in that realm and get fully baptized first. The only way you change is called full immersion. You don't dip your toe in and go, And this is what Aussies tend to do. We haven't decided to just jump in and just say, I'm getting in the river. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. Again, like I said, you know, my son was a witness that I was just pretty much answering questions today. I wasn't like, "Hey, hallelujah," you know. It was just sort of like, I'm like keeping up with them trying to pull out of what we're carrying. But we have to decide. One of the things, I'll just say this, this is an observation, take it as observation. Other parts of the world, people are screaming amen. Australians are like, did I say something? And that's our nature, and we're not good at getting out of the boat. But what we've got to do is we've got to lay a hold of God. And I'll tell you what right now is that my hunger for personal change and seeing God move is way greater than any discomfort I have of coming out of my comfort zone. And do you know what? We've talked to Illuminate and what have you, and it's like most people, when they get counselling, they already know what they got to do, but they play hide and seek. Okay, guess what I've got behind my back? A toxic addiction. I already know that, but do you know that? Wrong, daddy wounds. All right, so, okay. Close. So, it is what it is. And so, this is why Psalm says, "You desire truth in the inward parts." Can we put the pads on, please? Holy Ghost. I don't know how we're going to do this. It doesn't matter. Oh, there's some oil. What a coincidence. Praise Him. How did that happen? There's one we prepared earlier. So, here's the deal. This year, we're in training for reigning. We really, really are. And it goes way beyond the political sphere. But But I tell you what right now is that we have to be continually filled with the Spirit. We have to continually be filled with the Spirit. You actually don't have to yourself. You don't have to. You can just be an observer. But you've got to get out of the boat. You have to get out of the boat. And I'll tell you what right now, like tomorrow, this is what we're going to be ministering around. I'll try to get something separate tonight, but the Lord's over that Spirit of revival. And I started to see water just being poured into the sanctuary. You know, I used to have I wouldn't call it a recurring dream. I had it heaps, but I had it a few times. Just as we started Field of Dreams. And I remember I was in this house, me and Rachel were in this house. And this is around, we probably just had Max. Well, I don't think we had the two kids. It was just Max, who was just an infant. Anyway, so I remember this house, and it had like a big window on the floor, you know, because that's where windows go. It had a window on the floor, and it was like a sunroof, but a floor roof. I mean, no, it was just a window. And we could see water gushing underneath us. And I remember just going, what the heck? And I remember walking out, and there's a balcony, and our house was perched right on the end of the most giant waterfall I've ever seen in my life, way bigger than Niagara, Victoria Falls, anything. I couldn't see the edges, and then it just dropped off, and this water was coming, and then I could look, because I'm in the Spirit, I'm looking at the ocean. It's the craziest. I wouldn't say it was dark blue, as in ominous, like the North Sea, and black water. It wasn't like that. It was the deepest blue, but you could feel the awesomeness of it. That is heaven. This earth is a speck compared to heaven. This earth is a ball of dust compared to heaven. And heavenly dimensions is where the water comes from. And we're waiting for it to fall on our heads. No, 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 no. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to release it out of our bellies. Can we do that? Because when you release it out of your belly, you drink as well. You drink as well. Last thing I'll say is this. I remember one of the holidays we had over the break, it was awful. People got COVID. I injured myself. I didn't have a good time. Came back worse from my holiday. Worse. I remember we went over to, well, Port Lincoln, there you go, I said it. God bless Port Lincoln. The weather was disgusting. It was cold. This is the middle of summer, you know. And it was sort of like, and all the restaurants are closing. We drove all the way over here to just sit in a room, right? And then it's like everyone's got COVID and whatnot. And I came back and I go, I don't think I can face the year. Those are my feels. Yeah. I don't think I can face the year. That's a really great way to start kick your January off. Amen. I spent 3 days in this sanctuary before the Lord in His river. And I felt like I'd come off of annual service leave and I'd been in Hawaii for 3 months. That's how real it is. Can we engage that tonight? All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, now, this is what we're not going to do. We're not going to go into slumber. We're not going to go into slumber. Stand your feet. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to get healed, you heard the great testimony of God just dealing with spirit of cancer on Sunday and miracles and all that. It's real. It's real. But now, this is about you. This is about you and the Lord. So what we're going to do is that I'm going to pray with you guys, and I want you to, in a second, I want you to just to start to speak in tongues. I want you to pray in the Spirit, and then we're going to do some drinking. But here's the deal. Don't go through the motions. We're only going to do this for about 15 minutes, okay?